All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Heather Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
It was Bork with the shot. Hagman looking for the rebound. They couldn't solve Patty Bullen. A 2-on-1 now. Everly riding on goal. Drags the puck.
Should we run it back? Let's get into it with the lead. Oh, why not? That gave you goosebumps, Liam. That gives you goosebumps.
That was the moment I became an Edmonton Oilers fan.
Really?
It actually kind of was, yeah. That was the first game of when the 2010 season.
Yeah.
I only moved to Canada in 2010.
Ah.
So that preseason, I was teased by Magnus Pajarvi.
Who wasn't teased by Magnus Pajarvi?
And then all of a sudden, I got Jim Vandermeer setting up Jordan Eberle for one of the best goals in Oilers history.
Hey, they need a seventh D-man. Why don't they look into Jim Vandermeer?
I don't think he's busy.
Yeah, probably not. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day. We're starting early once again. Why are we starting early once again? Because we have another trade to discuss. Welcome in to the show and into the Sports Closet Studio. Three locations in the Edmonton area. St. Albert Mall, Sherwood Park Mall, and Kingsway Mall. It is a Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the program. The Oilers taking on the Blue Jackets. Lots to get to there because we got a couple of new faces that will make their Oilers debut tonight. And we have another new face joining the Oilers via a trade. Edmonton and Arizona linking up on a trade. Yesterday, we had Frank Saravalli on during our surprise two-hour mega show. And he said the most likely move for the Oilers was a veteran seventh defenseman. Well, what did they go out and do? They call up the Arizona Coyotes and they get 29-year-old right shot D-man Troy Stetcher from the Coyotes. It is Stetcher and a seventh round pick coming to Edmonton, a fourth round pick, which we are assuming is in 2026 because the Oilers do not have a fourth in 24 or 25. So a 2026 fourth rounder for Troy Stetcher and a seventh, $1.1 million cap hit. And this just coming down now, not retaining anything on that, which is interesting. Yeah.
I actually think this deal is kind of ass if you're not going to get anything retained.
He's 1.1.
Even if you get that down to 900, that makes a huge difference, right? Yep. Not everything has to be 50%, but it's like, I don't know. That's a tough one. I feel like that really gives them not as much flexibility as I thought they were going to have with this depth defenseman move.
Yeah.
Unless there's more to come with a forward leaving.
Or if any other potential move Eberle is twice retained. I think that's another angle of this you need to consider, right? Yeah, like you can get Eberle, who's 5.5, down to 275, down to 135. 138 or whatever.
You have 1 million.
Wave Janmark.
Trade Janmark.
Trade Janmark in the deal, sure.
Trade Brown.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a number of things. Brown, not so much because he's 750. Janmark's a mil. You probably want the full mil opened up.
But if you only have one more move to make and Brown's the guy out of the lineup today.
I'm just going from a pure cap perspective on Janmark over Brown.
So, sorry, what would it be if Eberle was triple, double retained?
He'd go from five. I'm trying to do this math five on the half, fly.
2.25,
1.125. No, we're off there. It's 5.5 to 2.75 down to 1.375.
2.75? Really?
Well, because he's 5.5. Half of 5.5 is 2.75, Liam. Not a great start for us.
Let me Google it.
We're usually not ready till 12:01 in our defense. So anyways, Troy Stetcher is the move we're talking about right now. Right shot checks that box.
Yep.
Relatively cheap to acquire checks that box. Would have liked this thing to be 50% retained because then he's 650K and it makes it easier to run a lineup down the stretch that actually has 7 D-men and 13 forwards. So that I don't love. He's a little undersized. Don't love that either, but he is now your fourth right shot D-man on the depth chart. And it works out nicely because you needed a right shot for me. As much as I liked some of the names that were out there, like Gregor mentioned a John Merrill who came with term.
I like him.
One, I don't like doing term for my seventh defenseman. You can replace like Troy Stetcher. If you like him, bring him back for league min next year. And that's a deal he's probably going to take. He's not going to have interest, right? So for me, it's kind of like you don't want term. Merrill didn't make sense. You have Broberg as your fourth left-handed defenseman as well. So you don't need to do that. You needed a cheap right shot guy on an expiring contract. Stetcher checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, he does. He's almost played 500 games in the NHL. Frank just tweeted out the full details of it. And yes, like we said, no salary retention. The seventh round pick is from the Bruins in 2024. And the fourth round pick is in 2027.
2027.
I'll be 30.
That's sad. Eh? That's a little bit of, I mean, I'll also be 30 or close to it. So
I was about to say, hey, dude, what the hell?
Wait, Aaron will be 30 by the time they make the seventh rounder this year.
I'll be like 32 years old. No, I'll
be. But anyways, that's the full deal from Frank Saravalli. So it's a 2027 fourth round pick going to the Arizona Coyotes. Edmonton gets a seventh rounder this year. I like that. That's Ken Holland's kind of play is like, hey, I'll do the deal. You got to give me a seven. That's a good veteran GM move of like, my scouts work hard all year. I got to give him some bones. He's got a sixth from Nashville. He's got a seventh from Anaheim and now a seventh from Arizona via from Boston via Arizona.
The Oilers have arguably drafted better in the seventh round than they have the first round the last few years.
Vinny.
Was the other guy? Max Warner was a seventh round pick.
Was he a seventh?
Yeah, he was a seventh. That Matt Capone kid, he's having a great year at Merrimack this season. I believe he was a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of these picks are just throwaways, but the others are somehow finding ways to find these guys in the seventh. So I respect the fact Holland is looking out for his scouts and trying to give him at least something to do because there is nothing worse. I've never been in this situation, but I've spoken to like WHL scouts and stuff. They'll work all season and all of a sudden you've got Matthew Savoy and all your draft picks are gone.
And it's like, why did I?
What have I been doing?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, Holland's clearly a former scout himself, I believe.
Yeah.
Looking out for his boys, but we'll see. Like I don't dislike the addition of Troy Stetcher by any means, a necessary one. People were saying, it's like, oh, well, you have Philip Broberg. It's like, yes, but Philip Broberg plays on the left and it's easier to have the extra depth with the right. And Broberg can not just stay in the American League and keep playing down there for the rest of the season with Holloway now too.
Here's a not so obvious prediction. If the Oilers go to the conference final this year, Troy Stetcher will play in a playoff game at some point. Guys will get nicked up. Darnell Nurse, is Darnell Nurse not been suspended in back-to-back playoffs?
Yeah, yes. So,
right, like, guys will get hurt. Guys will get suspended. You know, it's whatever. Dave Lunn is in on the YouTube chat. Says, what did I miss? We still have 6 minutes till official start time. Well, when Troy Stetcher gets dealt to the Edmonton Oilers, you hop on the stream and you start your show early. You get to work because it's deadline season. We don't sleep. Good news, Stetcher or Wright D? Yes. If you're just joining us, Troy Stetcher, 29-year-old right shot defenseman, $1.1 million cap hit. The Oilers pick him up. They get a seventh-round pick in this year's draft. They trade away a 2027 fourth-round pick in the transaction. So what could the Oilers do next? I don't think we need to spend that much more time on Troy Stetcher.
Well, the only thing I'll say, and it's not even about Stetcher, is this is the Oilers' blue line.
Yep.
Moving forward.
They're not going to make a big splash. If you're hoping for Carrier, if you're hoping for Jensen or whatever, it's not happening.
Something crazy would have to happen here in the next 24 hours-ish, 25 hours now to really shape things up. If Cody Ceci was to be upgraded, he would have to be also out of the door. I think the forward is where they're going to add now. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation going around about Jordan Eberle after what Frank said on the DFO rundown today. So that seems like their big target is trying to add to that top six. And when you look through, they obviously had different lines today with Adam Henrique now in the lineup and Sam Carrick, but you add an Eberle to that top six or someone of that caliber. Yeah. Things get a little crazy in that forward group.
Here's a little scouting report from Jordan Schmaltz, former NHLer who is out in the desert. He's around the Coyotes quite a bit. Jordan Schmaltz. Yeah. He says Troy Stetcher is a hell of a sneaky pickup for the Oilers. Dude is like 5'9" standing on a phone book, plays like he's 7 feet, heart of a lion and a fierce competitor. I love the move. Oilers fans, watch him get back to pucks. He's first touch all day, no matter who's barreling down on him. So pretty good scouting report from Jordan Schmaltz, who I'm going to go ahead and follow now since he gives good information. Jay Swish 24.
It's a sick name.
Sick handle. He's the guy who's always doing, I mean, he's the former NHL, but he does a lot of streams with the Heat Daddy as well.
Any relation to Nick?
I don't know. Look up his elite prospects.
I'm looking up Troy Stetcher's elite prospects right now.
What can you tell me of what's on there?
Former Penticton V.
Okay. Like that.
Played with Mike Riley, not the quarterback of the double E, but the defenseman.
The defenseman for the Islanders now.
It he is was a great brother. Player back in his junior days. Went to North Dakota. He's had a good career, to his credit, for a guy that he's basically been a bottom pairing defenseman. To play almost 500 games in a league at almost 29 years old and third year in a row has been traded at the deadline. Unfortunately, he's gone from Arizona to Calgary and then Arizona to Edmonton. So he's really trying to avoid those winters by throw him right back into them. But he is what he is, a professional, I guess you could call him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is all they needed. Maybe I should walk that back a little bit. I would have loved Cody Ceci to be upgraded at the deadline.
Who wouldn't?
That became apparent. It was not in the cards. The Oilers don't view Carrier as that guy. They weren't going to pay the price. I think they had a tougher time offloading Cody Ceci than maybe they thought they would.
Well, I think that became very apparent when they put him in a package with their first round pick for Chris Tanev.
And Calgary said, no, we don't want him. So this is what the expectation became. This deal is not surprising. You basically could have gone around the league. Like we talked about Ruedel. Sure. That would have been an interesting game. Basically any right shot defenseman who is competent, who makes around $1 million was going to be who the Oilers got. I will also say reading this scouting report from Jordan Schmaltz, knowing what we do a little bit about Troy Stetcher as a player doing this, Stetcher in a seventh for a fourth, infinitely better than doing the Edmonton trade, which was a third and a fifth. That was a wild overpay.
Oh, yeah. And Edmonton, still a good player. Don't get me wrong, but like, not really a comparison to this one. I think another interesting layer of this is, like you said, he's not the biggest man in the world, but he plays big.
That's all you want.
Ken Holland is, I wrote an article about this last year, heading into the draft, I think it was. He does not draft or sign anybody under 6'1".
And you know what else he doesn't do?
So the Oilers only have two defensemen on in their entire organization under 6 feet. One of them is Cam Denis, who they acquired in a trade last year, and now the other is Troy Stetcher.
Both from the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes, they are.
Two things Ken Holland never does. Acquire defensemen under 6'1", and trade his first round pick for rentals. He's done them both.
And fire coaches midseason.
He's done that twice now. It's not his GM. So Ken Holland potentially in his last deadline as not just an Oilers GM, but this could be his final deadline. And I think it's fair to say it likely is his final deadline as an NHL general manager. goes out, does the rental thing yesterday, goes and gets Stetcher today. And now the question, and we'll call it the Sherwood Ford Giant question of the day, brought to you by Sherwood Ford, the Giant. Find them online, sherwoodford.ca. Not only do they have the best inventory when it comes to new and used vehicles, but when you make Sherwood Ford your next dealership, you get all the perks that come with it. Sherbucks.
Oh, we got to go back soon.
Got to go back soon to get our hands on some more Sherbucks. Not only do you get that, but you'll also get access to their fantastic service department. Your giant question, Liam, are the Oilers done? Over, under, half a trade between today and the deadline? What are you betting on?
No, I think they've got one more in him.
Think old Uncle Ken on his last deadline has one more up his sleeve?
I think he's cooking up something good down there in Roger's place right now. I don't know what it is. I hope it's Eberle. I hope it is maybe an upgrade to the Ford group as well. People are asking for Carrier. The thing is, like, Nashville acquired a player today.
Anthony Beauvillier in a move for a fifth-round pick from the Chicago Blackhawks.
Small, but they're clearly showing their group that they believe in them.
I don't think they're selling.
I don't think so either. I said it the other day on
They'll offload Barry, and that's it.
Yeah, that one makes sense. Get rid of him. But, like, Carrier, like, I don't know. Oh, the waiver news is true.
Yeah, so the Nashville Predators. There you go.
They had another guy.
Yeah, the Nashville Predators have claimed Jarrett Anderson Dolan off waivers from the Los Angeles Kings. Ryan Johansson has cleared waivers. He'll be assigned to Lehigh Valley. Will Lockwood and Jacob Moverer, the other guy from LA, who that was a weird one for the Kings because they
signed
him. Well, they sent him on waivers, then an hour later announced they signed him to a 2-year extension. So any team that would have claimed him would have gotten him with a 2-year extension. Anyways, waivers today from Frank Saravalli, Carolina, clearing some space. That is interesting. Brendan Lemieux, Tony D'Angelo, Antti Raanta, all on waivers for the Carolina Hurricanes. William Lagesson in Toronto, Jordan Oesterle in Calgary. Could you maybe have saved yourself the trouble on Stetcher and just gotten Oesterle? He's a lefty though, right?
I was wondering that too with the gentleman you said there about from the Kings.
Yeah.
What was his name again? Sorry.
Moverer. Oesterle's a lefty, so probably not. He can play the right side, apparently, according to Cap Friendly, but no, okay, never mind. And he's only a couple hundred thousand cheaper.
I actually thought Colin Miller might have been an option for this team, and even like Brendan Smith from New Jersey.
A little bit more expensive.
Maybe a little bit, but a little bit better player too.
Boris Kachuk in Chicago is on waivers. Evan Cormier in Florida and Tobias Bjornfot in Vegas, presumably to make room for
Noah Hanifin, right?
Yeah, that's what it was. Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure I'm not missing anything on the waivers. Shout out to me. I tweeted 18 minutes ago, Stetcher for a fourth. I would assume it's in 2026 since they don't have one in 24, 25. Then I ended it with hashtag Captain Obvious. I was wrong. It's 2027. Son of a bitch. Jay Gonzalez says, wouldn't a better pickup be Tony D'Angelo? Yeah, he's 1.67. Yeah, you're not picking that up off waivers. You can't afford that if you're the Oilers. So no, doesn't make a ton of sense, or D'Angelo doesn't make a ton of sense for the Oilers. Oesterle, I think there is some element of an argument to be made there, but still, I don't hate the Troy Stetcher pickup at all.
I bet. Oh, yeah, D'Angelo one is interesting for other teams, though. I mean,
if you're a team with money, like, I mean, here, let me just throw something at you. A team who we know has LTIR space, who has dealt with a big loss on the blue line. What about Tampa Bay picking him up?
The reunion. He was drafted by Tampa Bay.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, second round. First. Yeah, 19th overall.
By the Bolts,
traded for a second.
Like, he's a righty. Right now, their right side is Turnak, Perbix, and then DeHaan as well. So like if you're sitting looking going, hey, he'll bring us some offense, some puck moving, I could see Tampa taking a stab on D'Angelo.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes a little bit of sense. Yep. Obviously, the speculation now is Jake Guentzel to Carolina. I pray for that to happen.
Well, we need him to stay the F away from Vegas.
The Rangers, get on the phone to Buchnevich, please.
Yeah.
Carolina, get calling Kyle Dubas and get some deals done here. Avoid the Vegas Golden Knights. They have... obviously, ultra aggressive, similar to what Vancouver have been throughout the season too. And boy, if they get another one, like the Oilers can beat them still, but it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, here's this Hanifin deal: 75% retained, a first round pick, Daniil Miramanov, a third round pick. Philly eats 25% in exchange for a fifth as well. That first round pick has an interesting wrinkle into it. It's a 2025 first rounder, but Vegas has the option to move their 2025 first rounder before tomorrow's 1 o'clock deadline. And if they do, Calgary then gets the pick in 2026. So from the one, here, two prongs. One, Vegas is clearly still looking to add. And that's why they're being connected to Gensel. I think there's some amount of connection between them and Pavel Buchnevich. I think basically any forward on the market, Vegas has their eyes on it. And they're clearly willing or have it in their minds that it may cost their first round pick to add another piece. The other side of it, if you're sitting there going, why would Calgary agree to that? The first round pick they're getting, if it's in 2025, is top 10 protected. Mm-hmm. If it ends up getting pushed, it is no longer top 10 protected in 2026. So if you're Calgary, you're going, hey, win-win. If we get it in 25, boom, we get our first round pick a year earlier. If we don't get it in 25, it gets pushed to 2026, not top 10 protected, and it's a year further away from Vegas's all-in play here, which is fascinating. Also, I think that third round pick becomes a second round pick if Vegas wins one round.
Yes.
So if you're the Oilers and you're sitting here going, Calgary, you screwed us out of Tanev, you wouldn't do the deal, you have the chance to go beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas will lose in round one and Calgary's pick will stay at a third rounder. There we go.
Yeah, a couple of interesting wrinkles to that one. The first round pick, I don't know if I've ever seen that like condition on it.
I've never seen that, no.
Say, hey, like, we actually might still trade this.
Yeah.
So this is not yours. It's interesting. It's very interesting. What was I going to talk about quickly? Slipped my mind.
Is it about, probably not about Stetcher. Again, I've said this now twice, but I think we covered it. Solid. It got the Bob Stauffer stamp of approval. He liked it.
Bob said, liked it.
Yeah, Bob likes it. He said, played the third most PK minutes amongst Arizona defensemen. So a guy who can probably slide in, help you on the PK. Oilers obviously don't need like power play help or anything. So just a guy who competes really hard at 5-on-5, good at puck retrievals, like Jordan Schmaltz said, and goes and can help you kill penalties.
Remember what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
Do you think the Oilers would have any interest in bringing in Brendan Lemieux?
He's new.
800K.
Don't want him in my room.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
No interest in that.
Just curious. I know I'm not the biggest fan of him by any means, but I know Holland appreciates those kind of plays.
Yeah, it's just...
Imagine
you added toughness with Carrick. There's no one on this list. Again, if they didn't just do the Stetcher thing, I'd be going like, ah, take a stab at Osterley. Bring Osterley in. But everyone else here, no, I'm good.
Lemieux, yeah, that's fair. How's Boris Kachuk been this year? He was part of that big Brandon Hagel trade.
He was. Him and Taylor Radish were the two pieces there. Antti Ranta's got a cap hit of 1.5, so you can't really afford him either. Yeah. So kind of good on all fronts here when it comes to the waiver wire in the NHL. If the Oilers do make another move, and it's the subject of our Sherwood Ford giant inbox or giant question of the day, what will it be? My money is on a forward. Frank Saravalli saying today on the DFO rundown that the Oilers are keeping tabs on Jordan Eberle, and he is a name that they would be considering moving into the mix. What do you got?
The Duhaime trade was just completed.
Yep. From Frank Saravalli, Brandon Duhaime is going to the Colorado Avalanche. A third rounder in 2026 is the return. So there was some chatter that the Wild could get as much as a second rounder this year for him. They end up having to settle for less in the third rounder. Brandon Duhaime is a good third, fourth line winger. That's all he is. So the Avs don't really overpay here. They don't really underpay either. They get Duhaime at $1.1 million for the rest of this year. Then he's an unrestricted free agent.
I feel bad for our friend.
He's been tweeting about it. He's upset. Seth Topol.
What's his show called?
Locked on Wild.
Locked on Wild. Yep. I wanted to call it Wild Up. But I know I was wrong. Yeah, he loves Brandon Duhaime.
Why would you want to call it Wild?
I don't know. I couldn't think of what it was called.
Okay.
But Brandon Duhaime, Colorado making some moves. Obviously, we'll see. Casey Mittelstadt is probably going to be that second line center now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the Eberle talk because I really want to kind of sink our teeth into this one, Liam. Playoff performer. Yes. Obviously, there's the former Oiler connection. Seattle has basically, here's the lowdown of what Frank said on the rundown. $5.5 million cap hit pending UFA. Seattle is talking to him about extension.
Mm.
Jordan Eberle has apparently made it be known his preference would be to extend and stay. Seattle has said, if we don't come to terms, we are trading you. They have committed to that. If you don't have a new deal, we will ship you off to a contender before tomorrow's 1 o'clock deadline. pair that little nugget with Frank with another angle, and I think the Duhaime trade actually reflects it, the market is shifting to a buyer's market.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
I think the Oilers giving up, you know, what they did for Stetcher. Sure, he's a low-end piece. Doesn't really change that much. Duhaime, who, again, the talk initially was a second-round pick in this year's draft, he goes for a 2026 third-round pick. That's a lot lower. I think for the high-end pieces, and Frank confirmed this today on DFO Live, high-end pieces like Gensel, they'll hold strong. Buchnevich, Nick Dowd, guys with term, I think there's enough motivation there and enough reason why, you know, Washington and St. Louis respectively could say, ah, we're going to wait until the draft. All of a sudden, if you're willing to keep 50% still, there are more teams in the market on the draft floor for Buchnevich than there are now. With Dowd, I think it's similar. 1.3 mil, someone will give you a decent asset for that at the draft. Even Dowd next year's deadline at 50% retained gets you something good. So yeah. I don't think there's a lot of pressure for those teams to budge off their prices. Jake Gensel, even Tyler Toffoli to an extent, they're the premium scoring wingers on the market. There's not much motivation there for either team to budge off their asking price. I think the check down names, again, circling back to Duhaime, I think this rings true for an Eberle, especially if Seattle's willing to bring it right up to the deadline. I think this rings true for a guy like Anthony Duclair, who I think, haven't heard anything on this, but I think the Oilers should have interest in Anthony Duclair. I think as we keep getting closer and closer to deadline day, I think their prices fall off. There was talk at one point, Eberle maybe costs you a first, plus whatever it takes to retain. I think you might be able to get Eberle for prospects.
I was thinking about that because you look at the Mantha, Tarasenko. I know Tarasenko is a bit different because there is no movement clause, but like Eberle's in that ballpark of players, right? Like secondary wingers who can score goals. I know Eberle has 9 goals this season, not as much as those guys. So I'm curious like what the price would be. Is it like a third and a prospect?
Well, Liam.
But with the retention, you're going to have to add a little bit more just for that.
Let's build it out. Let's do a little mock trade. The trade is fake. The money you can win is real at Service. The Service Big Share contest is back for a sixth year, and it's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. Transfer your existing savings to Service for chances to win $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required for rules. Visit service.ca/win. Liam, let's build out a deal for Jordan Eberle. We flashed up the Mantha trade as a potential comparison, second and a fourth. Let's just give everybody a quick reminder of the picks that the Oilers could potentially move in all of this. They dealt their first rounder in 2024, but in this year's draft, they have a second, a fifth, 2 sixths, and 2 sevenths. Okay, second and fifth are the picks you're looking at here. Mm. Next year, they have their first, their third, a sixth, and a seventh. First and a third. In 2026, they have a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh.
Full slate.
Full slate. We just saw Minnesota be willing to part with a 2026 pick or get a 2026 pick for Duhaime, who was one of their more expensive rental options. Would Seattle do the 2026 second rounder? And then could you get a third party team? Or maybe you go to Seattle, say, hey, 2026 second rounder, and we'll give you Lavoie. But Seattle, you need to turn around and find someone to keep the money. Seattle has an extra fourth next year that they got as a part of the Wenberg deal. Mm-hmm. They have a fifth in 2025, fifth in 2026. If you go to Seattle, I'm like, hey, we'll give you a second and we'll give you Lavoie. You just got to use that late round pick to get a third party broker involved. Maybe.
I think that's too high.
I think that's too much for Eberle.
I think
to get him twice retained.
The retention is obviously what would increase it, but he's not as good as Mantha and Tarasenko this season, right? And they got traded for less than that. I just think that would be the layer for me. Obviously, the extra obstacle is trying to get that third party involved. Otherwise, you can't afford him. But like, I would do like second, let me look here, second, fourth or fifth, and then you whatever it is for the third party. Maybe you maybe the prospect is more valuable than one of those mid round picks, or maybe you go like to Toffoli. That'd be nice. Tulio or something like that. But I wouldn't throw in Lavoie to these trades at all. You look at all these trades going around. Like Noah Hanifin wasn't even traded for a top prospect.
Yeah, you're right.
Like Lavoie is your best, second best forward prospect. Obviously, Holloway now.
Yeah, Holloway. I think Lavoie and Borgo probably have similar ish value.
Yeah, if I had to rank him, I would go Holloway, Lavoie, Borgo. Okay.
Would you do just Borgo for Eberle if Seattle found a way to make the money work? They keep half, and like you're paying basically a first round equivalent in Borgo. He was drafted in the first round not that long ago. Maybe Seattle says, yeah, we want a guy who's closer to playing than a mid round pick. Seattle has a couple of mid round picks already. Maybe they just don't see the value in it. Would you do Borgo? You get Eberle at 75% retained, and Seattle goes, yeah, you know what? We'll find another team and we'll give them our fifth round pick this year because we want that prospect.
I don't know if I would give up Borgo for him. Like, I think I would, but I think I would rather just move out the picks because, again, it's like, even if Borgo isn't what we think he should be right now, he's closer to helping you than what a second round pick would be.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, no, I would try and avoid those top prospects you always have.
How do you feel about trading this year's second round pick and just gulping and going, okay, we don't have a pick till round five this year?
Yeah, that's fine.
You're fine with that.
Yeah, that's what Colorado did. I think they had a sixth and a seventh the year they won the cup.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, you would have two sevenths, two sixths, and a fifth. And maybe it's something where if you're Edmonton again, you go second in 2024, fourth in 2026, or fifth in 2026 to get the third party involved.
Yeah.
And you just tell Seattle, give us another seventh, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just keep loading up on dart throws late in the draft.
And then the thing is, too, we discussed this, I think earlier this week, maybe last week. You trade a Kulak at the draft. You trade a Cody Ceci at the draft. Like, you can accumulate a little bit more coming back.
Kulak for a third on the draft floor?
Yeah, like, it's not too bad, right?
Ceci for a fifth on the draft floor? Boom. All of a sudden, you've gotten yourself a couple of picks. That's a really good point.
Yeah, so I think they'll find a way to recoup some things here. And also, I know they're later in the draft, these picks, but like in previous years, too, Holland has gone to the draft with very little to play with. And managed to make a couple of moves to get a couple more draft picks here and there, right? So my goal, if they were to acquire Eberle, would be to, the highest I would go in a draft for a draft pick is a second. And then I would add a prospect no better than Borgo. So Borgo up is what I wouldn't trade. So to me, that would just, for the forwards, Borgo, Lavoie, Holloway, and I guess Broberg,
yeah.
Even okay. Warner.
Yeah, I like Akey too. I'd be nervous about the defense.
Yeah, Bo Akey. Injured.
Yeah.
Gonna be good though.
Hopefully. We're gonna be joined by a surprise guest in a couple of minutes here on the show. David Quadrelli is gonna swing by for a quick little hit. He spent a good chunk of time covering Troy Stetcher early in his career, both early in Quad's career and early in Troy Stetcher's career. So Quad's is going to stop by, and we'll talk a little bit of Pacific Division stuff with him as well. But there's your Service Credit Union mock trade, trying to cook something up for our boy Jordan Eberle. I do also wonder if you're Seattle, Eberle comes over in the expansion draft, was a good soldier for you, did all the right things. Is there a little bit of, you tried honestly to extend him, maybe you even think you can sign him again in the summer, and you just do, hey, we're going to do right by it. Do you want to go to Edmonton? Yeah. Do you want a chance to win there? We'll do this for you.
Another thing, though, too, like, they could just move in and then try and re-sign him in the
That's
summer.
What I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and maybe you build up some goodwill by being like, hey.
Just go play.
We're sending you to a spot you want to go.
Kind of thing. Yeah, everyone knows Eberle, obviously. And, like, I think he'd be welcomed back by the fans when he left. He was a disappointing day. I think you can say, like, Ryan Strom came here and did fine, but like,
well,
he was fine.
Well,
I just mean in comparison to what Eberle was, like, he's always going to be a little bit worse, right? But look at those career games played, people. 998.
Playing game 1000 in Edmonton would be so damn cool.
It would actually be in Pittsburgh.
It'd be, yeah, but yeah, in an Oilers, I know what you know what I mean. But like, Jordan Eberle does have a modified no trade clause, 16 team trade list. So again, like, he has some control, but not really a lot, especially when you consider when that list would have been submitted.
I would imagine Edmonton is on his trade list.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
He would be open to it.
Also, another layer to this. Tyson Berry's house is still up for sale in Edmonton. I saw this the other day. And I remember when he left Edmonton right around this time last year, of course, there was the video of his house and people are going around. I said, oh, it's for sale. Like after he's gone, still up for grabs. I saw on one of those Instagram real estate agent pages the other day. And someone was doing a talk.
Casually, as you do.
Well, I follow the person I do as follow. He's progressing in his career. So, and I was, I recognize this place a lot. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Tyson Burr's house. It was. So if everyone wants, he's got a place there, looking up, rent. Maybe he buys it. Or maybe Barry's coming back.
Conditional second that becomes a first if Tyson Barry gives Jordan Eberle a good deal on his house.
How about those ones where it's like, okay, Noah Hanifin's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay gives him Isaac Howard a first round pick, and they admit the puck went over the line in 2004. Yeah.
Michael says, what's the link? I don't know, Michael. I was just letting Liam cook.
So actually, I figured out this thing on StreamYard the other day. If you press, see where it says starred and five there?
Yeah.
You can star comments.
That is significant.
So these are some, I asked people what they would trade for Eberle.
All right, let's go through them. Ryan Spotkowski with a Service Credit Union mock trade. Broberg, Janmark first for Ebs. Massive overpay.
That's
would
a lot.
Not.
That's a lot.
Kyle Buxton, second in Lavoie. If the second's in 2026, I'm in, Kyle. Smitty the Welder says, no thanks to Ebs. Go bigger and get to Foley. I
would too, but yeah, I don't think you're going to get him.
We're trying to be a little realistic here. I don't think the Oilers are going to outbid the Kings for Toffoli. I think LA is hot for that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Lavoie a third for Ebs. Sign me up. Wise Kyle, a third.
Same.
Not enough, but I'd do it. We both sent quads the link. Good. So we're all on the same page there. Let's get back into what you're all saying over in the YouTube chat. Our YouTube chat is brought to you by Charm Diamond Centers, proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1972, with more than 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. Get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks with the Charm Masterpiece program. It features an unbeatable pricing policy. Check out the large selection of Canadian lab grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing. As always, OAC. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. Brandon says, Lavoie and a hug from Nuge. Hug from Nuge, borderline priceless. people are... Adirath, I love you, buddy. Carrier for another second.
I just don't think he's available.
I was texting with my cousin the other day. He said, I'll go on a hunger strike if they don't get Carrier. And I said, you better start eating now, buddy. Yeah. You better fill up. Like, you're not getting Carrier. It's just not happening.
No.
I would love to be wrong on this. I would love to be wrong on this. It's not happening.
And if we are wrong, that's fine. But what I will say is, I think Nashville want to admit to themselves that they can play meaningful games to
for some reason.
League. Yeah. Like, I don't know it's necessarily the right decision, but like, they got a lot of good players. Roman Yossi's not getting any younger. Everyone again is just going to look and be like, oh, look what Florida did last year. Yep. They've got some stars. They could go on a bit of a run here. They've got a great goalie, great defense.
Yeah.
Some decent forwards maybe want to improve there, but I just don't see it.
They're going to lose in five games around one, Liam.
Probably, but I wouldn't put it past them to win around.
I would. I think they stink.
Well, who would they play?
Vancouver.
Oh, I could see them knocking off Vancouver. What's the bet?
I don't know.
One cup of coffee.
Something bigger.
No.
Donair. Buys Donairs.
But he doesn't like Donairs.
Nothing in that for me. Keith Morrissey says, I'd rather add some scoring now than another defenseman. Secondary scoring was a big issue in the playoffs. Yeah, I agree with you, Keith. We're going to get back to the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat in just a little bit. But for now, let's head out to the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. And it's been that way for over 20 years. They've been working in the community for two decades, and many of the homes built in Edmonton have had their plumbing and heating systems installed by Star Mechanical. And so can you. Visit them online, starmechanical.ca, where you can take advantage of their 24-hour emergency service. They're there for you. When things go bad, it can be stressful, hectic. You don't know what to do. I'll simplify for you. If there's something wrong in your house, you just give Star Mechanical a ring. They got you covered. Let's get to our guest, David Quadrelli from Canucks Army. Quads, Canucks, Preds round one. What do we think? Preds in six, Preds in seven?
I was just texting Liam. I'm like, they would dust Nashville, just to be clear. Vancouver, look, and we've thrown this around a lot here in this city, is who's your ideal round one matchup? look, guys, like the St. Louis Blues have had the Canucks number for some reason, and we know what Seattle Kraken can do in the playoffs. We saw them do it in Colorado last year. The only correct answer, if you're a Canucks fan, of who you want to see them match up against in round one is Nashville. Nashville sucks. It's like you just said, Tyler. They blow. They're horrible.
Nashville, so they have won 8 games in a row.
Yeah, but have they been against good opponents? Quads. Well, let's talk a little bit about Troy Stetcher. The Oilers pick him up for a 4th round pick. They get a 7th round pick in return as well. Good veteran GMing by Ken Holland. But you obviously covered Troy Stetcher. He was out in Vancouver for a number of years to start his career. What are the Oilers getting here? He's 5'9". That kind of scares some fans off when you think about a small D-man in playoff hockey.
Yeah, Troy Stetcher's been kind of facing that his entire life, right? And he's somebody that plays like he's 6'3". And I mean, he's had to fight for everything he's ever gotten in the game, right? Like, this is a guy who went undrafted, tore it up with the Penticton Vs in the BCHL, spent some time at University of North Dakota. The Canucks signed him. Again, he's from Richmond, so he grew up a Canucks fan. He's got the whole hometown story. A lot of Canucks fans wish he never would have left, but it really wasn't his decision that he left. And yeah, he was somebody that was really well-liked all over the locker room, all through the community, really good person. But the player on the ice that you're getting, like, guys, this guy can move the puck. Like, he can move the puck really well. And look, I know his point totals aren't anything to kind of to be excited about, but he plays like he's, you know, like he's had to fight for everything in his hockey career, right? Like, he's the first guy back often when the puck kind of dumped in. He's able to move the puck quickly. Like, he doesn't get hemmed in by opposing forechecks. And honestly, like, he's the kind of depth you'd want in the playoffs. The fact that he's coming onto the Oilers as depth, like, again, I don't know where he'd slot in the lineup right now. Like, I don't know if he'd be the 7th defenseman or if he'd be the 6th guy. You know, obviously Cody Ceci, probably could be kind of switched out with Stetcher, but again, we'll see what actually happens. But Stetcher's good. Like, Stetcher's a good player, and the fact that the Oilers got him for, you know, depth, right? Like, they acquired him for depth, and they paid the price of acquiring a depth piece. He's a solid depth acquisition. I really like that trade for the Oilers.
Yeah, I think it's basically you have Broberg on the left side who can be your 4th D-man there. If someone goes down on the right side, they didn't have any real insurance in the system. If someone were to go down, Stetcher is exactly that. He'll be the 7th D-man for the rest of the year. I would expect they mix him into a handful of games down the stretch, even if there are no injuries, just maybe give some guys some nights off for bumps and bruises. But it's a second straight day the Oilers have made a trade. And I'm interested for your outside perspective on the deal we saw yesterday, a couple of late picks for Henrique and Carrick. What do you make of the Henrique deal?
Well, for the Oilers, and don't forget, guys, the Oilers were my cup pick at the start of the year, right? Like, I want to see them succeed. I know I'm out here in Vancouver, but I want to see the Oilers succeed as well. What I looked at was, I just tried to figure out from this perspective of, okay, we know that there's X amount of teams on Gensel, and we know that that market is kind of heating up and that a lot of the teams are looking at it and saying, okay, this is a pretty expensive player for us to go out and get. Are we going to be able to do it? And I feel like the Oilers kind of bowed out a little early. Like that's what it kind of feels like to me, is I think you would have liked Gensel more for what the Oilers need. Look, I like Henrique. I think he's great. He can play center. He can play the wing. Obviously kind of in the back half of his career a little bit, but a guy who's got that playoff experience, I like him as a stylistic fit for the Oilers. Again, Sam Carrick also, you also get in the trade. You know, that's a fine acquisition as well. But Henrique obviously is the big one, the one that you kind of focus on. I like that acquisition for them. I think it's a good trade for the Oilers to make. I just wonder about the timing. Like, that's the big thing that I wondered about when this trade was made, was, okay, did Ken Holland kind of say, well, looks like Gensel is going to be expensive, so we're going to move early and go on Henrique? And hey, maybe that's exactly what happened, and maybe that's a fine strategy. I just looked at it and said, man, I would have really liked to see them go out and get someone like Jake Gensel.
What do you think, I guess, flipping to Vancouver a little bit, the Elias Lindholm thing is kind of weird. Like, what has happened since he got traded? Now there's speculation they might trade him again. Like, what's kind of going on there?
Yeah, so Elias Lindholm was acquired to be Elias Pettersson's winger, right? Like, that was the whole purpose of the trade, or a big purpose of the trade. Like, all season long, Elias Pettersson's put up great numbers, but he hasn't, like, he's been playing with Sam Lafferty. He's been playing with Phil DiGiuseppe. Like, he's been playing with these fourth liners for some of the season. And Nils Höglander's recently kind of stepped into his own and become a top six guy. So he's playing with Elias Pettersson, and that's his most consistent winger now. But Elias Pettersson hasn't had any steady wingers. And look, this is your franchise center, and he's not able to get anybody to play with. The Canucks were trying to address that. So they went out and got Elias Lindholm. There was no fit. There was no fit there. And then recently we heard Rick Tocchet say he thinks Elias Lindholm is better fitted as a center. So now he's centering the third line. But you know, right now Dakota Joshua is out. So when he comes back, you'd assume that that third line of Joshua, Bluger, and Garland, which has been the best third line in the league for most of the season, you would expect them to be reunited. So now the Canucks are just kind of at this stage of, okay, we have this player. I really think the Canucks believe that he hasn't had a chance to settle in. I don't think he's going to get moved. I really don't. Jim Rutherford spoke yesterday with Patrick Johnson, who co-hosted Canucks Convo with me yesterday. And Rutherford seemed kind of, like he didn't seem like he was in a rush to move Elias Lindholm. And again, we saw more quotes from Rutherford today, talking about how if he just chipped in a little more offensively, I think everybody would be happier. But I just don't get the sense that the Canucks are going to move him. I think they're going to have some more patience, but again, like we'll see what else they do on the trade market. Cause it kind of feels like they're obviously right there on Gensel. They're right there on Toffoli. They're still trying to find Elias Pettersson a winger. Like that's what this deadline's been all about for the Canucks.
So what's your best guess on what they do in the next 24 hours and 30 minutes until deadline day? Do they have enough gas in the system and enough assets to go get a Jake Gensel without moving out a piece like Lindholm? Or do you think there's a chance maybe they just check down and go with a different style of winger that isn't Jake Gensel? Give me your prediction.
That's the thing, is they have the pieces. Like they've got Jonathan Lucarimaki, who obviously put on a show at the World Juniors. He just got his SHL MVP with his club, his club's team MVP award. He just got that. He's been putting on a show. Lucarimaki's really rebuilt his stock among NHL front offices for sure this year. Again, Tom Olander, right shot defenseman. They've got the pieces. Like they've got the pieces to make the Gensel trade happen. All indications, guys, are that they don't want to part with those pieces that teams are looking for. So we'll see what comes of it. But then you get into that second tier. You've got Atu Ratu. You've got Vasily Podkolzin. Those guys are a bit on the older side. How much value do they really have? I don't think it's enough to go get a Jake Gensel. And again, we've seen some reports recently that the Canucks are kind of pivoting to Tyler Toffoli, a guy who has familiarity. And just another thing on Stetcher, guys, as we talk about Toffoli, Stetcher was with the Canucks in the bubble at Rogers Place, right? And Stetcher was really successful in that bubble. You go back and look at that playoff series. The thing that I think I didn't explain well enough when you first asked me about Stetcher was that this is a guy who usually plays third pair minutes, but when he first came to Vancouver and for much of his first couple of years in Vancouver, he was playing on the top pair with Alex Edler. And I know the Canucks suck. Like, I know the Canucks weren't good back then, but Stetcher's capable of playing top 4 minutes. Like that's the take that I want to give you and your listeners, is if the Oilers lose a top four defenseman or they need Stetcher to bump up and step into the lineup. Look, I think he's great as a sixth, seventh defenseman, which is what he is on the Oilers. I think he's great in that role, but I also think he's capable of playing top 4 minutes. I think he's somebody that's going to help. That's going to help in the playoffs. He's a really nice addition for them. And I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that because you brought up Toffoli, which reminded me that the last time he was with the Canucks was the 2019-20 season, obviously when they had the playoff bubble and everything. And guys, I don't know if you know this story. I'll quickly tell it. The Canucks went into free agency after the bubble with Jacob Markstrom, Tyler Toffoli, Chris Tanev, and Troy Stetcher. Lost all four. They lost all four of those guys. Those were their big UFAs. They lost all of them. They committed money to Jake Virtanen. I can't remember what else they did. They did something else that offseason that didn't make much sense. But Toffoli wanted to stay in Vancouver. Like he wanted to be a Canuck. And the Canucks, quite famously in this city, the quote that Jim Benning gave was they ran out of time. They never gave an offer to Chris Tanev. They never gave an offer to Tyler Toffoli. And now in year four of the deal that the Canucks should have signed, this front office is looking at going out and getting Toffoli because, hey, he's still a quality player at this age, at that cap hit, on that contract that, again, the Canucks should have signed. So that's kind of the running joke in Vancouver is, of course, they're going to have to give up trade assets to go get the player that they never should have let go. Ooh, they gave up trade assets to rent in the first place at the 2020 deadline.
I mean, oh, it's bad. Never a dull moment for you covering this team, though, Quads. They're always wheeling and dealing. They're always shooting their shot. Like when I saw the tweet from Chris Johnson about, yeah, all right, they could potentially flip Lindholm. I just like, that's the most Canucks thing ever, is to flip Elias Lindholm 6 weeks after getting him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. That's like, look, it's Trader Jim, right? Like Jim Rutherford knows what he's doing. And again, I don't know how much you guys followed the Elias Pettersson contract negotiations. All year we're hearing, Elias Pettersson wants to wait until the end of the season to sign a contract. And then Jim Rutherford threatens to move him to Carolina. And then Elias Pettersson signs. Like, the gonads on this guy. That's kind of what we're all talking about here in Vancouver. It's quite clear that Jim Rutherford's been around the league for a while and he knows how things work.
Quads, appreciate you hopping on, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. David Quadrelli from Canucks Army, Canucks Conversation. You'll have a ton of good Canucks coverage on deadline day, which is tomorrow.
Just tomorrow.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There you go. On the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. Before we get into tonight's hockey game, because there is a hockey game tonight, and there are some interesting little lineup notes for us to debate. Let's wrap up the trade talk by digging into what Ken Holland had to say yesterday. It is the Sounds of the Oil, and it is presented by Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. The Aerial Park opens up on May 31st. It's family fun all summer long. If you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It is a lot of fun. And the Rainbow Valley Campground, it's right in the heart of the city, over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right in Edmonton. Visit rainbow-valley.com for more information. Couple of quotes from Ken Holland. Holland on if he feels he has enough powder to find a defenseman. Well, we do now know that. He talked about how important it was to get Henrik for 25 cents on the dollar, Carrick at 50 cents as well. He said they have some money. We saw him follow through with that. They got Troy Stetcher and didn't need any retention on that deal. Holland on the trade he made yesterday said, quote, "What I like about the deal is we are adding two players. Both are versatile. One shoots right and one can play right wing center. Both can penalty kill. Adam Henrik shoots left and can play left wing or center. Maybe he tries right wing. I think we got some versatility." And just to wrap things up, that's what I like about the deals they've made, is it gives them versatility. I would have loved Pavel Buchnevich. Do not get me wrong. I would have loved and still would love Eberle or Toffoli. But the fact that you got Henrik, a piece that can move center, wing, third line, second line, kind of wherever you need him. And if you run into injuries in game, if you run into injuries during a playoff series, you know you have the ability to shift him around. I really, really value that flexibility when I look at a lineup.
Well, I think too, that's kind of how Holland has made his entire forward group, right? Yeah. Like, you really go through the entire lineup. How many players can't play multiple positions, or how many players have we not seen play multiple positions already this season? Right. Yeah. So I really like the addition of Henrik for that as well. And Carrick too. And you look at it tonight, Henrik slotted on the second line with next to Leon Draisaitl. And it's just interesting to see him there, to be honest, but it's good because that's where he's had a lot of success this season too.
And how about this little bonus Sounds of the Oil, but it's just a tweet from our friend, Bruce Kerlock. We trust Bruce. We love
my
Bruce.
Life.
He says,
he called me out the other day.
Really?
Dylan Holloway take. He said, I can't remember exactly what he said. He's like, I agree, but mostly disagree. Ah. And then today, Dylan Hall, yes and no.
Bruce said, no one will want to hear this, but he's better than Desharnais and makes a better first pass than all but two Oilers D currently. He's just short.
Just short. It's funny how that just holds people back in the NHL. Like 5
and in
nine.
Life.
We wouldn't know. We're massive.
Yeah, I'm very tall.
5'11 and 3/8.
Yeah. And I'm like Lou Gazdick size on a good day. All right, there you go. That's your Sounds of the Oil, brought to you by Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. Let's keep cruising along here. Get into a couple of game notes while we talk about the flexibility that Adam Henrique gives Chris Knobloch and his coaching staff. We have lines for tonight.
I got a question.
Is it about the Lions?
Kinda.
Okay.
Do you think they would have the kahunas to scratch Cody Ceci?
They would throw it under the guise of he needs a day off.
And they would 100% scratch Vinny without hesitation.
Yeah, they would.
I know it. I know they would. Just interesting. I just thought about that because it's like, okay, if he's better than passing at Vinny, and Vinny's currently our second pair of defenseman.
Yeah.
Ceci.
I feel you.
Yeah. Go on. What's the lineup looking like?
The lineup, Aaron, can you flash it up for me? There we go. Nugent Hopkins back with McDavid and Hyman, a line that for a 6-week stretch was the best line in hockey, or 4-week stretch, is back together. The second line, new look, Leon Draisaitl back with Evander Kane. Adam Henrique will make his debut for the Oilers as a left winger in the top six. What do you make of this decision?
I think it's a good way to just get him in the lineup. It's an easy way to slot it all in there. I think eventually we'll see him move down to the third line and all that kind of stuff. But it also makes me believe that if Evander Kane's on the right side right now as a left shot, there might be a bit of a hole there.
Yeah.
So I like it for this game, playing Columbus. We'll see how it progresses. I do ultimately see him as a third line center for this team.
Yeah, I wrote about this yesterday on the site, and I mentioned, you know, maybe you find a way to ease Henrique into the lineup. There was kind of two ways. Also, people are not happy that we joked that being short holds you back in life. We don't actually believe that. We were just kidding. It's okay. I don't want people to be mad at us. I mentioned I ease Henrique into the lineup in some way. There's two ways to do that. Play him next to Leon Draisaitl. You know why? Because playing the game with an elite player is easier than not playing the game with an elite player. And, you know, maybe it puts a little bit of pressure on him. But the other part of easing him in by putting him next to Draisaitl is that Henrique has played as a left winger for a lot of this season. He is a good centerman, but keeping him on the left side where he's been playing for the last couple of months, simple enough. Also, the other option I gave was, if you're going to play him at center, play him next to Corey Perry. They have... oh, God, now Eric from our graphics department's not happy about it. Ah, geez, that was a bad joke. That was a bad joke. That's on me. I'll wear it. I was going to say, play him next to Corey Perry. The two of them were teammates for a couple of years in Anaheim and actually spent a somewhat decent chunk of time playing together at 5-on-5, 200 and some minutes. So not a lot, but they would have some familiarity with each other. So my other idea was play him on the third line and just play him with Perry, and maybe there's a little bit of something there. But I like the way Chris Knobloch's handling his lines tonight. That top line being back together is chef's kiss for me. That second line feels like it could be really effective. Henrique's got a good nose for the net, so I dig that. The third line, McLeod, Fogle, Perry. Hopefully that's some amount of secondary scoring. We saw McLeod and Perry hook up for a goal in that game against Pittsburgh, so why not? I have no problems there. And then the fourth line, Sam Carrick is going to center Derek Ryan and Matthias Janmark. Obviously, no Dylan Holloway. He was reassigned to Bakersfield. We're assuming that's a financial play, not necessarily a reflection of his abilities or their desire to get him off the NHL lineup, but a financial play because he doesn't need waivers ahead of the deadline. So you go Janmark, you go Derek Ryan. Connor Brown is the healthy scratch this evening. No complaints for me when it comes to this forward group, honestly.
No, I'm happy with how we're looking tonight. This is a, how do I word it? And significance too big of a word, but like, it'll be interesting to see how they progress from here with this forward group. Now, you know, that top six is looking pretty positive, but for me, again, like, I just want to continue to see positive outcomes from this third line, you know, like, throughout the year, it's been like, oh, they don't score, they don't score, they don't score. And it's like 100% true. But they're not putting the puck in the net, and I suppose that's a positive in the other net, sorry. So that's a big positive in itself. So hopefully this line can gain some chemistry here, but I do ultimately see Henrique and McLeod switching around. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that a little bit tonight too. A third line of Fogle, Henrique, and Perry, that'd be my chef's kiss.
You'd like that?
I would like that quite a lot. I'd actually like it if it was Jordan Eberle instead of Perry, but we'll take what we got right now.
Okay, well, back to the trade talk. But you look at this lineup.
Silly season. Come on.
You look at this lineup. You go acquire Eberle. And now, okay, just hear me out with this. Trying to build three scoring lines, okay?
I'm listening.
You're daydreaming. You're in your little pose. Keep the top line the same. Second line, Fogle, Draisaitl, McLeod. Third line, Kane, Henrique, Eberle.
Wow.
That's deep. That's depth, big guy.
That is deep. That would be so nice. With the little rainbow from Rainbow Valley in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I am on cloud nine.
And then on the fourth line, you got Carrick playing with Janmark and Holloway one day.
Yeah, Janmark, Holloway. I do like having Derek Ryan in the lineup, though, as a winger. I
like Janmark a little bit more than him, I think.
Yeah, I like the versatility of having the extras. Do you know they have 7 centermen in this 12?
Nuge, McDavid, Henrique, Draisaitl, McLeod, Carrick, and Derek Ryan. That's 7.
And Janmark, 7.5. They've literally played with center this season.
Yeah, you're right. Kind of like yesterday when we said they have 2.5 goalies in their system. someone said, who was it? Sam Squatch. I love Ebbs. He doesn't move the needle. Oh, he does. He's still a very, very good top 9 winger, top 6 winger.
I just want to know why people don't think he moves the needle.
Because they're hung up on the bullshit Peter Chiarelli said in 2017 about how he can't play in the playoffs, and they haven't watched a lick of Jordan Eberle actually play since he left the Oilers, and they haven't done a lick of research about how good he's been in the playoffs.
May I just propose something to everybody?
Sure.
Because this is how I kind of see it. Is Eberle better than Derek Ryan?
Liam, yes. I love you, but I'm going to say no shit.
Yeah. Okay. So that moves the needle.
Yeah.
Is he better than Corey Perry?
Oh yeah. 1,000%.
Him and Fogle.
The same.
Probably the same right now.
Eberle, so maybe a hair better.
Me, fellow listeners, Hyman, Fogle, Eberle, Perry wouldn't be moving a needle on the right side. If you can get, if you can get Jordan Eberle for a second round pick, prospect, whatever it may be, why do you care so much if he's like not going to improve the team over a Derek Ryan?
Yep.
Because it's so true. That's who you're replacing, because everybody else shifts down.
Joel and B-Max both said this. They brought up Duclair. I think Duclair would be an upgrade too. So
yeah, I do too. I think, look, the fourth line is where you're upgrading essentially with these players. Everyone moves down. Toffoli is better than Eberle. Nobody has ever said otherwise. But the others probably aren't going to get him.
Yep.
Do we got to be realistic here, people? They've got about a million left in cap space unless they were able to move a Janmark or a Ryan or Connor Brown, whoever it may be. Eberle is affordable. I just don't see them going out getting a Toffoli. As much as we would love Toffoli.
Yeah.
But Eberle makes sense. Why have you got a picture of Toffoli on your phone?
No, that's Troy Stetcher.
Oh, okay. It looks kind of like him from a distance.
The more I read about Troy Stetcher, and I'm just looking at Dom Lucision's analysis, who I really, really like, he has his market value at $3.1 million.
Really?
Yeah, JD Burke had a really, really positive tweet about him too. So, interesting. Interesting.
From what Quads was saying too, I couldn't recall, so I didn't want to say anything, but I did remember a point in his career where he was like, playing better than he should have been. And yeah. I must have been that Vancouver run with him. I didn't know he was playing top pair with Eberle, but I have heard like a lot of positive things about this guy. And we'll see. Like there's a reason everybody always wants him at the deadline. He's been traded 3 years in a row, and it's not just because he's on a cheap deal every year. You know?
Yep. All right, let's keep cruising along here and get into our keys to victory tonight. Edmonton's taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Liam, I'm going to tell you something right now about the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Tell me more.
They suck.
They're not very good.
Oh, they're a bad hockey team, and they have a bad coach. They have bad management. They have not a lot of good players. They just, in general, stink. Granted, they are 5-5 in their last 10, but on home ice this year, They are just 11-20 straight up. Not good. 21-41 straight up this season in terms of just wins and losses. I know they've scooped up a decent amount of loser points, but they are sitting in the basement of the NHL's Eastern Conference. Not quite in the basement of the NHL, thanks to the Chicago Blackhawks being more or less historically awful. But Columbus is not good. They have scored 187 goals this year in 62 games. The Oilers have scored 214 in two fewer games on the year. Columbus cannot score. Columbus struggles to keep the puck out of their net. Columbus struggles in every area, every facet of the game. The Edmonton Oilers, your key to victory tonight is pedal to the floor. One of my favorites. Haven't had a chance to say it in a while because the Oilers have not had such a clear-cut winnable game basically since the middle parts of January. If you're Edmonton, you just hammer that pedal to the floor and you steamroll this Columbus team tonight.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was going to go to, is show your dominance. I think that's the one I always pick when we play
bad teams,
poor teams. So it's the one I'll go with again. Show a little, show the depth. Show off the depth that Holland just went out and got you. And that's what I'm looking for tonight. Well, I'm very curious about the second line with Henrik and just seeing how he plays. Like, I know he's a good player. He's what is he now, 34? Like,
yeah,
he's been through the ringer a little bit in this league, but excited to watch him play. We'll see our friend Alex Tessier play tonight. Unfortunately, won't be an Oiler this year, or maybe next year. A lot of players on this team we wanted.
Maybe Tessier is the last minute move for the Oilers. Although both DVD and DNB, two Oilers reporters, said that they think the Oilers are done. I don't think the Oilers are done.
I don't think the Oilers are done either. Here's the thing.
I don't. And this isn't me saying I can guarantee they'll make another move or anything. I'm saying it from the perspective of they're not done making calls.
I think another thing too, I don't think they would have sent down Holloway if
they could have squeezed in Stetcher without him.
Yeah. So that's it for me. I think they'll keep going. And one other thing tonight, which I'm curious to see about, I wonder if Sam Carrick will try and put his mark on his team a little bit. You know, you see that sometimes these new guys come in. Obviously, Carrick's not here to score goals, but he's here to be a bit of an agitator, play that physical side of the game. Could you see a little bit of a scrap from Mr. Carrick tonight?
Yeah, maybe trying to just make his presence known. I can see it.
I'm here, and I'm here to beat you up.
There you go. Our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine out in the heart of Sherwood Park. Boats, boat motors, they're your exclusive home or your go-to home for everything Yamaha in the Edmonton area. ATV, side-by-sides, all your outdoor needs are covered at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. An update from Ryan Holt, our go-to Condors guy. Condors Holty said Holloway expected to be an option this weekend. So it does sound like not just paper. They want him to get some American League games. Sam Gagne expected to meet with the team in Abbotsford. So it sounds like both Gagne and Holloway will at some point play games for the Bakersfield Condors. So this lineup, this kind of group of 13 forwards might be what the Oilers run with past the deadline for a little bit, which is interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they should call up Holloway the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. I think they should let him go down to Bakersfield, let them help that team kind of have as much success as they can this season. Because winning is part of the development for me. And if you can have a bit of a winning culture, it's going to help everyone, right? Like, I think he's got to go down there and regain his confidence offensively. Sure.
Let's get to our Betway Game Day Betting Challenge, Liam, brought to you by Betway, your home for all the latest odds. If you want to sprinkle a little coin on NHL hockey, Betway's got you covered. 19 plus, please play responsibly. Here are the standings. I am coming off a dub, a nice even money victory. Did everyone win last game?
No.
You missed?
I missed. I had raced to three.
What did Jay have?
Fogel.
Oh, nice. I'm the only one that won. Creeping up.
Wearing your Betway sweater too.
I'm rocking my Betway hoodie. Tonight could be an interesting one for me then. If I can be the one who hits, although I think if I hit, you'll hit too. But I could close the gap on Jay pretty significantly here, actually, with a dub. So a bit of pressure on me tonight. I'm going Oilers money line. Hyman, 2+ points. They're reuniting the McDavid, Hyman, Nugent Hopkins line. And for me, that takes Drysdale props out of the playbook from my perspective. I'd been hammering his shot prop for a while. I'm not going to do that because he doesn't shoot as much when he's not in McDavid's wing. So I'm going Oilers money line, Hyman 2+ points, expecting that top line to dominate.
I like that one. I really do. I'm kind of going with this similar vibe to Hyman, one of the hottest goal scorers in the NHL right now, and playing alongside his line mates that he thrives so well with throughout the season. So just a simple Hyman goal. No explanation from Jay, except he thinks the Oilers will dominate the Blue Jackets tonight.
Yeah, he has Oilers -2.5 goals, and that is all he texted us. So shout out to Jay, who is enjoying the warm weather out in Hawaii.
Well, I'm enjoying the warm weather out here in Edmonton. What is it? -1 today?
-8 right now.
-8.
And when I left my house, I think it was still -18. It just changed to -7. Breaking news. Of course, we'll wait for Frank to
press
confirm. by the time we leave the office today, -2.
No way. -2.
Ow.
Wow.
Weather do be changing.
I'll be up +1 units tonight after my Hyman win.
Hey, have you been out to that new rink out in Nisku, the Silent Ice?
No, but the Kruger have a game there on the 10th, whenever that is.
My beer league has a game there tonight.
Really? Yeah. Must be Sunday, I guess. The Kruger have a game there against the Saints.
Ah, there you go. I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, apparently they have a very nice restaurant in there.
Yeah, open. I texted the guys who I carpool with my beer league games, and I was like, guys, can we go maybe early, grab a beer, grab a appy?
See what they got there.
Game's at 10 o'clock, so kill me. I'm in St. Albert. That is a hike and a half after a late hockey game. No bueno.
So where is it? Like, I know it's in Nisku, but
I have no idea. I'm going to punch it into my maps.
Yeah, you've not been before.
I've never been.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited. The Crew Arena might look very similar to it. Mm. Four pads at the Crew Arena.
They're putting four new rinks out in that Assured Park facility.
Yeah.
God damn.
So I think there'll be two will be ready, and then they'll open it, and then the other two will just be built gradually.
All right, let's get to the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is use that promo code up at the top of your screen, Nation25. You can take advantage of the Double Dash feature. 25% off, zero delivery fees, and Double Dash. That lets you add a second spot onto your order for zero extra delivery fees. What a deal.
What a deal. The other week, the lady and I ordered DoorDash. And I showed her the Double Dash feature. She was like, you're telling me this guy can stop at Rexall Pharmacy and grab me some stuff? I'm like, you're bag absolutely right. She really wanted to have a bag of Doritos.
Ah.
So she did. She plugged in and the guy stopped at Rexall, grabbed a bag of cheesy nacho Doritos and brought them on over. Anything you want, truly.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing, to be honest.
Okay, the menu today, new episode of Real Life dropping in a couple of hours. If you want some good trade talk, new episode of the DFO Rundown drop this morning, and that's going to premiere over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. Tomorrow, I want everybody to listen up. This show will not happen at its regularly scheduled time. I am hosting the 4-hour Daily Faceoff Live trade deadline special. Myself, Colby Cohn, Carter Hutton, Frank Saravalli up in the top corner of the screen, like right here where my hand is, except on the other side.
It'll be on the other side.
Yes. Yeah, so like Liam, you put your right where Liam's hand is. Frank Saravalli stays up in a little insider cam. So you get to watch Frank all day as he works the phone. And then the second he's got a trade confirmed, phone goes down. He unmutes himself. He pops up on the screen a little bit bigger and he goes, guys, I got a trade.
Trade alert. Jordan Eberle to the Oilers for a second.
Yeah.
Frank tomorrow.
We hope. So that's happening. It starts at 9 a.m. Mountain, and it's going to roll right up until like 1:30 when trades stop rolling in after the deadline. We are going to reset, eat some delicious oodle noodle because Liam is directing the show. And then at 2:00 Mountain, we will go live with this show. Oilers Nation Every Day deadline recap edition of the show is what it's going to be.
Yeah. So it'll be good. I always like this show. Like I said, I'm going to have my notepad tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that'll be big. Hopefully there's still some stuff to make notes for. Yeah, it'll be good. It's a funny show to direct because really like I can put no prep into what I'm going to try and do for the show tomorrow.
Yeah. I just wing numbers
of people who I'm going to contact. And if I need them, I'll give them a call.
Did I show people the thing I got?
Yeah, go get it.
I'll go get it. I'll be right back.
I've also put in hours of prep for this thing.
Pre-gaming.
For the menu as well. We're pre-gaming later today. We're going to take a look at these new lines. get some takes, get some predictions in. Liam, are you joining me on After Dark?
I think it's me tonight. People are always also asking, Liam, are you responding in the chat? I respond pretty much every day to everybody in the chat, and everyone always thinks it's Aaron. Aaron contributes, but yeah.
I'll usually put Boardsy if it's me.
No Liam's game today.
Can you plug this in?
Where?
Down here. We have our little quad box.
Tomorrow is also going to be the debut.
Oh, is it plugged in?
Of this, our massive deadline countdown clock.
You ever seen the show 24?
We're gonna hang it up like
20 degrees Celsius. Dude.
I haven't set it up yet. I just took it out of the packaging. We're gonna put it like here, and it's just gonna sit over my shoulder for the entire trade deadline show and count down to deadline.
Oh, trade alert. Yeah,
trade alert. Gotta put the clock away.
Avalanche announced they have acquired Yakov Trenin from the Nashville Predators. We've been saying the whole show Nashville is selling.
A couple of minor leaguers and a third round pick involved in the deal as well. It basically boils down Yakov Trenin going from Nashville to Colorado in exchange for a third round pick. So Nashville doing a little bit of the, we're buying a bit, we're selling a bit.
The Jeremy Hansel, WHL champion this season with the Seattle Thunderbirds.
There you go. So one more trade to wrap up the day. Big shout out to everyone who tuned in over the last couple of days. There were a lot of you. I appreciate you. If you're a new listener, hit the subscribe button. We do this bad boy every day, except tomorrow because it's deadline day, at noon Mountain Time. Pre-game, post-game on this channel as well tonight. So you will not want to miss it.
Oh, if you go over to the Daily Faceoff YouTube right now as well, the DFO rundown is now premiering. So I'll be able to watch everything that Frank spoke about today when he entered his notebook.
Head over there. Enjoy silly season, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. Chat with you then.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.